This is part of your business strategy, but it's more than that. It's a philosophy. It's a way of thinking about value creation that can so massively transform your business, not just your business, but your entire business relationship. So when you embrace leverage as a core principle, you stop equating your effort with worth. You recognize that your impact is not measured by how hard you work, but by the systems and assets you create. Imagine for every one thing you put in, you get two out. The shift is nothing short of revolutionary. I absolutely promise you this, especially if you have been conditioned to think that hustle and grind are your paths to success. And let's face it, it's what a lot of people believe. They're not. They're the paths to burnout and limitation. Hey everyone, this is Karen Kassain on the Biohack Your Business podcast, and today we are talking about something that fundamentally changes the trajectory of your business once you fully understand it, and that is leverage. And if you've ever worked with me, if you've ever been in any of my masterminds or programs, you will know that I commonly refer to the fact that leverage is my middle name. Today's podcast is Leverage is Power, how to scale your business without scaling your problems. I want to talk about leverage as a foundational principle that either makes or breaks your business. It makes or breaks your ability to scale your business. Because this is what I believe that people are not told. If you're not careful, you will scale your problems too. People talk about leverage a lot. People talk about scale a lot. And what I see time and time again, certainly with the clients who are coming in at my higher ticket programs, in my masterminds, or working with me one-on-one, often these clients are in a right pickle with their business. They've built a great business. They're making great money. They've got a great reputation, but actually they've built a monster. They're building a chaotic business. They're building a circus. They are what I term as being in the messy middle stage of business, because they're scaling their problems as well as their business. And you just can't do that, because you will break if you try and do that. I should know. I've been in that situation myself. More clients doesn't just mean more revenue. It means more of everything, more complexity, more demands on your time, more operational challenges. And without proper leverage, your business becomes heavier, not lighter, as it grows. And let me know if you're listening to this, nodding your head right now, thinking, yep, this is where I am, or maybe this is where I've been, and now I'm at the other side of it. I have seen this play out time and time again with experts and entrepreneurs across almost every single industry that I have worked with. They build something successful through sheer force of will and talent and hard work, only to find themselves trapped in a business that becomes a beautiful prison. Today, what I want to do is talk you through my complete philosophy on leverage, what it actually is, why most people get it completely wrong, and the specific frameworks that I use to create what I call intelligent leverage in business. Leverage is the secret weapon that almost everyone is missing, or people are not leveraging leverage enough. That's what we're going to talk about today. So whether you are just starting out or you're already doing seven figures but feel like you're carrying the weight of an entire operation on your shoulders, this episode is for you today. Okay, let's start by clearing something up. When most people hear the word leverage, they immediately think delegation, outsourcing, automation, hiring a team. Now, of course, there are certain things that I've just mentioned that are important. I mean, you know that I love automation. It's something I talk about a lot. I own a tech platform called Expert Space. If you don't know Expert Space, go and check it out. Automation is key to everyone's business. And while those things can certainly be a source of leverage, really they're just tactics. They're not the whole picture. True leverage is much deeper than that. It's about creating a disproportionate return on your input, where those inputs are time, energy, money, and attention. Imagine for everything that you put into your business, you can get more out. You put time in, you get more time out. You put energy in, you get more out. You get more, put money in, you get more money out, more focus and attention in, you get more out. Think about it like this. When you use a physical lever, it allows you to move something much heavier than you could with direct force alone. This is what leverage is. Leverage, lever, the little hinge that swings the big door. I love that phrase. I'm going to say it again. We're looking for the little hinge that swings the big door, the lever that amplifies your strength. Of course, that's what we're looking for all the time in business. Amplification of everything across the board. We want systems that will turn 1 hour of work into 10 hours of value. And you can do that. I'm doing that right now. I'm helping people to do that. You can do that. If you don't have systems, processes in your business, and you're carrying all of the load yourself, then you're setting yourself up for massive failure. We want intelligent property that works for us while we sleep. We want intellectual property that works for us while we sleep. It's out to work, doing the stuff behind the scenes. You built it. You're leveraging it. We want offers that sell themselves rather than you having to be the mug that has to talk about it day in, day out just to get clients. You can't build a business like this. I mean, sure, you can for a while, but if you're not careful, it will be the end of you. I mean, of course, not really the end of you, but the end of your business, pretend maybe the end of you. I've seen burnout many, many times. So leverage is really important here. This is, though, where I think that a lot of people go wrong. They try to add leverage to a broken foundation. So if you've got something that isn't really working that well to start with, and you try to leverage it, well, what's going to happen? Let's think about it. You're just going to grow. You're going to amplify what's not working. So you've got to optimize what's working first and then leverage it so you get more of what's working rather than more of what's not working. And I can't tell you how many times I see this. So many people come to me and say, I'm scaling my business. And I'm like, okay, let's have a look. Are you really? Because what I see is that they don't have the infrastructure in place to scale their business. And so they're scaling all of their problems as well. And that's why when people scale, it becomes too much. It's like they bounce up and down, up against a wall, and they can't get through it. They can't get past it because it's really, really hard if they haven't got the right infrastructure in place. So what happens is they automate chaos. They delegate the dysfunction in their business, and all of those inefficiencies, they just get scaled. Something that is a little bit inefficient becomes massively inefficient. And of course, when you do that, you're just spreading the problem. You're not solving it. And that's why it feels awful. It can feel really awful if you try to scale something that's just not scalable. I want to tell you about a client I worked with a while ago. And I'm going to change the name here. Obviously, that's really important. Let's call her Sarah. So Sarah was a coach, is still a coach. And her and I worked together a couple of years ago. She came to me with a thriving coaching business. It was really great. She built a great business. Over six figures, great client. She loved what she did. She was really, really good at what she did. She had a brilliant reputation, but she was working a ridiculous number of hours. And there is only so long that you can keep that going for. She was on the edge of burnout. I've certainly worked with a number of clients, actually some quite recently, who have been burnt out. It's not pretty. It's not nice. But let's go back to Sarah. So her first instinct was, I need to hire people. I need to get some of this stuff off my plate. But when we started peeling back the layers of the onion, digging into her business, what we realized is that her business model was built around her personal involvement in everything. Her delivery required her presence, and her sales required her charm. She was very good at it. But she couldn't get clients unless she was putting this in. And her content required her input all the time. Adding team members would have just created more complexity for her to manage because it doesn't solve the problem. What it does is it creates a bigger problem because there's more people to manage. Hideous, really, really tough. So what we did is we redesigned her business with leverage in mind from the very start, from the foundation. It's the only way. I asked her questions like, if your expertise could be systemized and streamlined and not just delivered live, what would that look like? and ask yourself these questions as we go. What if your client journey was so clear that it just took care of itself and it didn't require your constant handholding? What if your content strategy was based on the law of compound returns? So you weren't creating something from scratch every single day, but you were creating content that you could leverage in a much, much bigger way. I did a training inside my Biohack Your Business Mastermind just 2 or 3 weeks ago on how to do exactly this. It was the Genius Content System based on a waterfall system. If you're interested in that, send me a DM. There's something I can share with you on that. I can talk you through it, if nothing else. So these questions that I asked her, that we asked each other. So these questions that I asked her, that she asked herself, they led to a complete transformation. It takes a while. We can't click our fingers and turn everything around instantly. Hopefully you know that. This isn't about the instant gratification or the quick win or the fast cash, although it can be. We're in it for the long game here. But within 6 months, maybe a bit less, she had totally converted her one-on-one coaching to a hybrid group program. And not only did she free up a ton of her time, but her clients preferred it and they were getting better results because she just had a better, more manageable way of running things. If you think about it, she freed up the time to spend in her zone of genius. So then she could really put her time into the program where it really mattered. It was a big, big game changer for her. Well, the other thing we did, and this is actually one of my favorite things to do with my clients. There was a call this morning that I led someone, one of my clients, she's in expert space. She's also in the mastermind. She came along and she said, "Oh my God, Karen, I've got this great idea. Can I talk you through it?" Yep. I love hearing my clients' great ideas. And she just had this brilliant idea. And the bit that we added on to it was to create a digital asset library to go with her idea that she could scale. That wasn't her delivering anything live. This particular client has no time in her diary, so this is essential. That she could monetize, that she could give to her clients as a lever to beat her competition. It was just brilliant. So we built leveraged systems, in this case an asset library, but also content systems that turned one piece of deep work, I really like thought leadership pieces, turned it into multiple assets. Like the client I'm talking about who I worked with previously, she went on to create so much more revenue, probably even doubled her revenue while working far, far fewer hours, which was amazing. Now that is leverage. That's leverage. Who doesn't want leverage? If you're not building your business on the principles of leverage, then I think you're really missing out. It's something that I've dedicated years of my work to. And you know, I have whole philosophies around this, which I'd love to share with you. So remember, this is not just about doing the same things more efficiently. That's not what leverage is. It's not about, oh, I'm just going to be more productive with this same thing. It's not what we're talking about here. The point is, we are talking about fundamentally changing what you do and how you do it. Here's another example of what leverage is not. It's not about creating new offers every single quarter because your existing ones are not performing well. That's not leverage. You've got to look at why your offers are not performing rather than create new ones. That is just busy work disguised as strategy. That's not a strategy, right? You know that. True leverage comes from going deeper, not wider. I say this a lot. Depth, not breadth. It's about making your existing assets work harder for you and not constantly creating new ones. Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should. Absolutely doesn't mean you should. Scale is about doing less, not more. It's about finding what works and doing more of it, and finding what doesn't work and doing less of it. It's about building once and benefiting infinitely. It's beautiful. And of course, it starts with understanding the different forms that leverage can take in your business. So let's talk about what those forms are. Let's talk about the five pillars of business leverage. When I really sat back and I was thinking about leverage, I was developing leverage. I'm a little bit obsessed with leverage. It's a vitally important string to your business bow. And I've dedicated a lot of my time in my business development to leverage. I want to share some of these really top level concepts with you today. There are five core pillars of leverage that I work with in my own business. And I teach to my clients, each one builds on the other. It's what I call, I guess, leverage multipliers. Each one compounds on the other. It layers on. I'm going to talk you through each of them right now. So number one is energy leverage. And, you know, I'm really big into biohacking. What is biohacking? This is Biohack Your Business podcast. Biohacking is vital to me. Biohacking is the thing that has really saved me and my business many, many times. And that's why I started my Biohack Your Business brand, philosophy, mastermind, and indeed this podcast. I find that most entrepreneurs totally overlook energy leverage, perhaps until it's too late. But it's actually the foundation of everything else. Your energy, your physical, mental, and emotional energy, it's your ultimate business asset. We know that when your energy is suboptimal, your decision-making suffers. Not just your decision-making, how you think and feel about your business, how much you get done, how you show up, how you just run your business is massively impacted by your energy. Your creativity tanks, your leadership capacity diminishes, everything feels harder. But on the flip side of that, when your energy is optimized, you can accomplish in just a few hours what most people struggle to do in a full week. This is why I do my deep work. I've got a great deep work optimizer, which I've shared many, many times. Deep work is incredible. It's the ultimate leverage because you can work for 2 or 3 hours and you can get the output of the equivalent of 7 or 8 hours a whole day. Energy leverage includes optimizing your biology through all the usual things, right? Sleep, nutrition, movement, recovery. We know this. Most of us are not doing it enough. I mean, I am, because this is important to me. But if you're not getting enough sleep, eating the right things, feeling well nourished during the day, moving yourself and giving yourself recovery time, then you're going to be feeling it in your business. I've got an Oura ring. It tells me everything I need to know. And it's incredible, actually, how many of my clients have Oura rings as well. You can see the Biohack Your Business Club. Just look on people's fingers. If they're wearing an Oura ring, the chances are they're in the mastermind. But the other thing, managing your cognitive load and decision fatigue. Have you ever felt like you go round and round in circles, not being able to make a decision on something? That's decision fatigue. Probably because there are too many decisions you're making and you just get exhausted and tired. Or maybe cognitively, your energy is not enough to sustain the decisions that your business needs to make every single day. You've got to also protect your attention. What I mean by this is where and how you focus. And one of my favorite things is to create environments that support my peak performance. So I'm always working in different places. If I feel that my creativity is getting a bit stagnant, I'll go and work somewhere else. And it's incredible. Even in the car, I get loads done. Where are the places that you can go and work if you need to switch up your environment? And the other thing, which is talked about a lot, but it's actually very important, and it's building boundaries that really preserve your capacity. What you say no to is arguably more important than what you say yes to. Not that long ago, I was working with a client who was obsessed with productivity hacks and time management, which is great. I love these things myself. But it was a lot to do with project management tools, scheduling systems, all the things, and much less to do with what was going on internally. You can't really optimize your calendar if you're running on empty, if you're running on fumes and you've got a chronically depleted state. I mean, it's counterintuitive. It doesn't go together. It makes no sense. What we did with this client is we shifted focus to energy first, and then system second. So we looked at his sleep, burnout, recovery time, the work that he was doing, where he was working, how he was working, all the things I've just mentioned. And I mean, he kept some of those productivity tools afterwards, but of course he didn't need them all. And actually he was using them as an emotional prop, looking externally for the answers rather than looking internally. This didn't work at all, and he knew that. So we sorted it. And when his energy was right, his output naturally increased without any micromanagement, which was brilliant. It was really good. This was a good piece of work. The thing, though, is energy leverage isn't sexy or flashy. It's the multiplier that affects everything else. And without it, all other forms of leverage in your business will and do underperform. So number two, and this is the thing, this is the one that most people think of when they think of leverage. It's time leverage. So this is what people think of first. How to free up my time. But true time leverage, it's not really about the hours. It's about maximizing each hour. It's about maximizing the impact of every single minute you spend. There are four primary ways for you to create time leverage. Number one, elimination. Look, just get rid of anything that doesn't drive significant value in your business. There's a lot of stuff that people are doing that is the trivial stuff, is the stuff you don't need to do. Number two, automation. I said this was one of my favorites. It really is. Using tech to handle the repetitive tasks without you having to do them yourself. Three, delegation. Moving what you're doing to the right people in the right way. You don't have to be the person that does everything. Remember that. It's not about you doing everything. It's about you knowing the person who can take this off your plate. And four, concentration. Focusing on high leverage activities where your unique genius creates incredible disproportionate returns. I sometimes hear people talking about quantum leaps. This for me is, this is part of that. But the order really matters here. If you are trying to delegate before you've eliminated, well, what's the point in that? You're paying people to do stuff that doesn't need to be done. If you try and automate a broken process rather than streamlining it first, well, again, what's the point in that? That's not going to work for you either. Time leverage requires clarity on what's actually essential. It's not, like I said, about making everything more efficient. That's not what we're talking about here. So ask yourself, what are the 20% of activities in your business that drive 80% of your results? That's where your time should go. And everything else should be eliminated, automated, or delegated in that particular order. Okay, the third part of this, systems leverage. Systems are how you codify, now there's a good word, your expertise and turn successful outcomes into repeatable processes, systems. You are only in your business as successful as the systems that carry your business. Remember that. Without systems, you are constantly reinventing the wheel, doing stuff. And without them, your business can produce very inconsistent results that require your constant intervention. Effective systems leverage, it's this kind of stuff. Acquisition systems that attract and convert consistently. It's onboarding flows that set expectations and build momentum. What about delivery systems that create a transformation for your clients without you having to be there? And, you know, one of my personal favorites, measurement systems. What gets measured gets improved. You've got to know what's working in your business. If you don't know what's working, how do you even know what to do? It's pointless. So the key to systems leverage is standardization before customizing. You've got to create the backbone, then build in the flexibility to this where you can. You know, things like funnels, we want to keep them human. We want it to be an experience. Your customer or client journey has to be an experience. So we're not talking about removing any form of personalization. What we're doing is building systems that do the heavy lifting for you. Number four, the next thing I want to talk about is financial leverage. How does the money flow in and out of your business? What if you could create compounding returns on your financial resources. So things like engineering your offers so that your pricing and your packaging, how you deliver these, maximizes the lifetime value. What about optimizing your cash flow so that your money is working for you, not against you? So knowing where to allocate the resources in your business for maximum return, passive and semi-passive revenue streams. So this is about building the assets that can generate revenue without constant effort. You build it once. I'm not saying it's completely hands-off. You know, you've got to monitor it. You've got to check it. You've got to do something with it. You've got to make sure the pages are converting. You've got to update it. But the basis is if you build it once, then you can plug it into your business and generate some semi-passive revenue for it. The other things that we could talk about, I'm not going to go into too much, but it's tax structuring. Lots of businesses are like sieves. They leak a lot of money. It's awful to feel like you put a money in, you can see the money coming in, you're getting the clients, and it's hemorrhaging money. My business has hemorrhaged so much money at certain times. It feels awful. It feels like you're working for free. So there's things that you can do to minimize leakage from your business. The people who master financial leverage understand that the revenue alone is not really the goal. I mean, yes, it is to a point. You want to build revenue, but it's got to be profitable and it's got to be sustainable revenue that comes with minimal additional effort as you scale. Too few people talk about profitability. Way too many people talk about turnover and revenue. This is where we look at things like, do your offers create single transactions or ongoing relationships? If you're selling one-time offers, God, that's a lot of one-time offers you're going to have to sell. Does your business model require linear time investment as you grow? Are you retaining clients? When you put client retention at the heart of your strategy, you will never need as many new clients as you think. Are you building assets that appreciate or creating things that are burnt and bust? And is your pricing aligned with the value you create or just market averages? Are you trading your time for money? Are you charging by the hour? If you are, that's not scalable and there's no leverage in that. Financial leverage allows you to do more with less. It allows your money to work harder in your business. It allows you to grow without proportionally increasing your costs or demands. Number five, let's talk about intellectual property leverage. So your ideas, your methods, your frameworks, your philosophies, your unique approaches are your most valuable business assets, only if you leverage them correctly. We're talking here IP leverage. It turns your knowledge, skills, and expertise into scalable, protectable assets that work for you. Building IP is very, very powerful. It's worth something in your business. You know, this is the bricks and mortar of your business. It's valuable for you. And you've got to build it because it's what builds the infrastructure in your business, and it's worth something. You can leverage this. Developing proprietary frameworks that explain your approach. Or, you know, one thing I've done a lot is create my own methodologies that others can implement without direct involvement, but it completely locks my competitors out because when people think of my method or my framework, they think of me and they can't get it anywhere else. That's unless your clients decide to plagiarize your material, which has happened to me many, many times. Obviously, when it's IP protected, rather when it's protected, then you have some comeback on that. I mean, you have comeback on copyright infringement as well. So when you package your knowledge into products, programs, and licensable systems, this is how you can move away from selling your time to selling your intelligence. And this is so easily replicated without depleting you. It's the stuff you've built. It's not dependent on you. You've already built it. What I want to talk about next is the dangers of scaling without leverage. This is the thing that often doesn't get mentioned, and it's the dark side of scaling. I've seen it repeatedly. Many, many entrepreneurs achieve success but find themselves more trapped than ever as their business grows. Here's what happens when you try to scale without leverage. Every new team member, every new client, every new offer or platform adds complexity to your business, to your operation. Without proper leverage, that complexity grows exponentially, not linearly. And suddenly what happens is you find yourself managing more people and more processes and a circus, more deliverables. The cognitive load becomes paralyzing, becomes crushing. I have felt like this a number of times in my business. And each time I've managed to get myself out of it because I've known what I've needed to do. But if you're in this situation at the moment where you feel like you've just got so much complexity on your plate, reach out to me. It's hard to break free from this, but you can. You just got to build a simpler system. This is about scaling simply. And if you think about what operational debt is in your business, so just like technical debt, businesses accumulate operational debt where they take shortcuts to grow quickly. So people are desperate for the next shortcut. How can I get there faster? What can I do to get from A to B in the fastest time possible? So you patch together solutions instead of building a proper infrastructure. And you're making exceptions as you go, repeatedly, instead of creating the proper policy or the proper process. This is the opposite of building sustainable systems. It doesn't show up on your balance sheet, but it creates a massive amount of stress. It's a big cost for you in terms of inefficiencies and limiting your growth potential. Your freedom diminishes. And I think that this is perhaps the cruelest irony of scaling without leverage, because many entrepreneurs build their business because they want freedom, but they end up with a ball and chain around their leg with more money, but way less freedom. More responsibility, more people depending on them, more fires to put out, more decisions that only they can make. They become a prisoner in the most beautiful prison, but it's all entirely their own creation. I have seen seven-figure business owners who can't take a week off without everything falling apart. That's not success at all. It's self-employment. It's sophisticated self-employment. Because when you are constantly in reactive mode, managing the weight of your business without proper leverage in place, your creative capacity suffers. Let's think about it. Let me know if you've noticed this about your business. When you realize there is no space for deep thinking or experimentation, you know, the thinking time that is so valuable, the innovation that drives the biggest breakthroughs, you become so busy in your business that you can't even work on your business. You're working in the business. And sadly, this is when burnout becomes inevitable. It's the end point of the scale, isn't it? Right. It's like without leverage, there's burnout. And it actually, sometimes it's not even just for you. It can be for your team as well, because a business built on hustle rather than leverage eventually exhausts every single person involved in the business. Remember, if you are not careful, you'll scale your problems too. Growth without leverage is just an acceleration towards a breakdown, not a breakthrough, a breakdown. But these are avoidable with the right kinds of approaches. So what I want to talk about for a while is how you implement leverage in your business. And I want to share a step-by-step framework for you to show you how you can create intelligent leverage, whether that's for you just starting out on your business or if you're already running a really successful operation. There's a lot that can be taken from this. First thing I would say is do a leverage audit. Building new systems or strategies makes no sense if you don't do this first. You need to understand your own current leverage points and limitations. So ask yourself these questions. Where am I the bottleneck in my business? Which activities consume the most time but drive the least results? What parts of my business break or suffer when I'm not directly involved? Where am I repeatedly solving the same problems day in, day out, week in, week out? What intellectual assets exist in my head but haven't been systemized? Or what are the unfinished bridges, the things that you've built but not finished? And which offers or services create the most value but with the least effort? And actually, which ones do you enjoy delivering as well? This audit will reveal where your leverage gaps are. So what I mean by this are the places where you're missing opportunities for multiplication. Don't rush this though. It kind of defeats the object if you rush it because you're too busy to learn about leverage. Here's the hierarchy that I use to prioritize leverage in my own business. I fix what's fundamentally broken or inefficient before adding anything else. So this for you includes your business model, your offers, and your essential systems. So this is the foundation. Then next, we look at multiplication. If you look at what's working and create systems to multiply that, you can't go far wrong. This is maybe your sales processes. What's working well for you in terms of selling? Your delivery. What's working well for you in terms of delivery? Content. What's working well for you in terms of content? If you can amplify those systems, this is great. And then expansion leverage. Only after you've really done the foundation and the multiplication can you look at expansion. What I mean here, launching new offers, entering new markets. You wouldn't want to do this if you didn't have the other two things in place. Don't get it backwards. Don't focus on expansion before you've got the foundations in place. This is like building a house made of cards. First puff of wind is going to blow over. And then the last part of this is the minimum effective dose. We don't want to build complex systems or put any complexity in your business. We want to find the simple solutions. There's an easy way to do everything. I don't mean cutting corners. I don't mean being lazy. I mean scaling simply. It's about finding the simple solution that creates the maximum result. Remember I said at the beginning, it's the little hinge that swings the very big door in your business. For each leverage opportunity, ask yourself the question, what is the maximum intervention needed to solve this problem permanently? And is there an existing software or tool or system that can handle this? If you also ask yourself the question, can I scale this? And the answer to that is yes, then that's a really great sign, because the goal here is elegant simplicity. It's beauty, it's joy, it's scaling simply, and it is absolutely not anything to do with complicated sophistication. Don't over-engineer your leverage. Just start simple and tweak and change as you go. So we've covered a lot to do with leverage today, from redefining what leverage is to exploring the five pillars and things that you can do to change how you're running your business. If you are feeling like your business is swallowing you up and you don't have enough time and you're not getting enough out for all the inputs going in. I want to end with something important though. This is part of your business strategy, but it's more than that. It's a philosophy. It's a way of thinking about value creation that can so massively transform your business, not just your business, but your entire business relationship with your business. So when you embrace leverage as a core principle, you stop equating your effort with worth. You recognize that your impact is not measured by how hard you work, but by the systems and assets you create. Imagine for every one thing you put in, you can get two out. Imagine for every two things you put in, you can get 10x out. This is so valuable for you. The shift is nothing short of revolutionary. I absolutely promise you this, especially if you have been conditioned to think that hustle and grind are your paths to success. And let's face it, it's what a lot of people believe. They're not. They're paths to burnout and limitation. You'll hit a ceiling and you won't be able to get past that ceiling. The true success that I'm talking about right now, this is the kind of success that compounds and sustains. It comes from intelligent leverage, from building systems and assets and processes in your business that work for you even when you don't. So my invitation to you right now is to start your leverage revolution today. Complete the leverage audit we talked about. Identify highest points for leverage in your business. Commit to it. Get your head down and work on this. Make it a priority in your business. And commit to measuring results not by hours worked, but by outcomes achieved. There is a much smarter way for you to do this. There really is. You've got to be careful that you don't scale your problems too. With the right leverage strategy, you'll scale your impact, your freedom, and your fulfillment, your joy. It's my 9-lever framework. It's the framework that is the golden thread that runs through my biohacky business philosophy. It's the power of leverage. Remember, you're looking for the little hinge that swings the big door. If any of this has resonated with you, if you need some help with this, if you want to talk to me about my mastermind, if you want to come on my retreat, get in touch. I'd love to chat with you. Until next time, have a great day.